The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Time is at 7:46. Anthony Reich, a very good morning. So, how is it going?
Very, very strange situation. Not strange situation, Howard, I think. I think we sort of suspected that this might happen, right?
We did.
Apparently more than 90% of the votes have been counted. And surprise, surprise,
We're back where we started, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Kahol Levan and the Likud are reported to be battling between 31 and 32 seats each. The latest report that I saw suggests that the Kahol Levan might have 32 seats with Likud having 31 seats. We kind of not very far away from where we were back in April, where admittedly each of them had 35 seats. But they were still battling with each other, you know, in terms of the number of seats. And really we have a very, very similar situation. I think the biggest change out of everything and perhaps the biggest surprise is the joint Arab list, because people didn't think that they were going to manage, to get, the 10 seats that they got between the two separate Arab parties in April. And it looks as if though there was at one stage a prediction that they might get as many as 15 seats from the 10 that they won back in April. Now the latest reports that I've seen are suggesting that they may well be getting 12 seats, which would still make them the third largest party in the Knesset. And if indeed there is a national unity government, which is still being spoken about potentially, at least in some circles, then effectively the Arab joint list becomes the official opposition, which is a very, very interesting situation, and one which I'm sure we will talk about in due course when, if and when that actually transpires. But just in terms of the smaller parties, Shas and Yisrael Beiteinu of Avigdor Lieberman are both predicted to get 9 seats. Let's remember that Shas previously had 8 seats and the Yisrael Beiteinu party only had 5 seats. So that's a big improvement, a huge increase for Yisrael Beiteinu. At one stage they were being predicted to win as many as 10 or 12 seats, but at the moment it's looking more like 9. The Yamina party, which is the Ayelet Shaked-led right-wing party, 7 seats. They, of course, were not represented in April at all. Labour and Gesher, the combined grouping, they are looking like they're going to get around about 6 seats. And that compares to Labour the previous time around that had 6 seats. And actually, you know, there was still talk about them not even getting through the minimum threshold required. So they are definitely going to be there. And, of course, the Democratic Union, also looking like they're going to be winning around about 6 seats. But I think the most critical part of all of this constellation is when you start counting up the number of seats in the different groups to see who could potentially form a government. And the answer is nobody. Because with Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party not part of the so-called Likud-led coalition, and also not part of the Kahol Levan-led coalition, which the pundits are putting together, we have a situation where I think we've got 55 seats for the Likud-led coalition and 56 seats for the Kahol Levan-led coalition. So Lieberman's 9 seats are going to be the deciding factor. And just interestingly, by the way, the Kahol Levan-led coalition also includes the Arab Party, the joint list Arab Party, which is, again, an interesting concept to bring them into the coalition, something that hasn't happened before and something which I'm not sure all Israelis are necessarily quite ready for yet, but that is just the reality. But, you know, the bottom line of the story is that Prime Minister Netanyahu does not have enough seats in his coalition partner parties to form a government unless he wins over Lieberman. And Lieberman has made it clear that he will join a government of national unity that is a secular-led government or a secular government, and that does not involve Prime Minister Netanyahu. So, you know, what I suspected might happen is still on the cards. It's still a possibility.
So what do you think? How do you think this could play out?
The only solution that I can see to actually getting a government together is that Netanyahu is either forced aside or is encouraged to step aside or volunteers to step aside, but either way, he is no longer part of the system, and that Likud and Kahol Lavan get together with Yisrael Beiteinu, with Lieberman, to form a government. Precisely who will be the prime minister remains to be seen. What is pretty clear is that Benny Gantz will be there. He will certainly be a prime minister, at least for some part of the term in office of that particular government. But there may well be a prime ministerial rotation, given that Likud and Kahol Lavan have a very, very similar number of seats. The Likud is likely to wish to have a prime minister and to have a rotation. So I'm suspecting that Gantz will be the prime minister for part of the time, and someone from the Likud prime minister for the other part of the time, whether that's Gilad Erdan or whether it's potentially even Yuli Edelstein, who up until now has been the speaker of the Knesset, the chairman of the Knesset, as they like to call him in Hebrew. Whether it's one of those two, it remains to be seen. I'm not sure that we really have another prime ministerial candidate within that Likud list. Yisrael Katz is probably the most senior one, beyond the two that I mentioned. He's been foreign minister up until now, but I would respectfully suggest that he's probably not the best candidate for prime minister. So I think there's still a lot of decisions to be taken. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Anthony, so my question is this, what do we know about Netanyahu's support from within his own party? Because very clearly, and I think you're absolutely right, this is a vote against Netanyahu. It's not a vote, in my view, against Likud, especially because people like Benny Gantz actually are Likud. You know, you've got, that's who they've always been. So, it seems to me that the party might need to step forward and say, okay, we've tried again, it's not working, it's time for a shift. And I'm interested to understand if they have that strength to be able to do that, or the desire to be able to do that.
Well, the issue for Likud right now is that it is really a list and a party of people who over the last 13 and more years have been handpicked by Prime Minister Netanyahu. They are people who are his supporters. They are people who have been progressed in the party because he has encouraged it. So they really very much are his personal supporters. And anybody who steps out of line and who shows a willingness to potentially oppose him from within the party, we've seen that in the past, that those kind of people have been very rapidly put into place and even relieved of their duties and even, you know, pushed down the line because they represent something of a threat to him. So, you know, one could almost say that the list is a list of Netanyahu yes people. And he's put them there because they represent no threat to him and because he knows that he will be able to almost demand from them anything that he should wish. And I think the time has come for Likud to have a bit of a clean out. I think there are potentially people within the Likud who could represent a more independent way of thinking and who could potentially be good representatives in the post-Netanyahu period. But by and large, that Likud list are Netanyahu supporters, and I think that none of them will be willing to stick their neck out and to oppose Netanyahu, to make any statement that would potentially be seen to be wishing to push Netanyahu aside. That's really got to come
from
him.
So what you're saying then is, unless it does come from him, this is not going to happen. Because, and well, I think it's unlikely that it's going to come from him. Number one, we certainly haven't seen any form of self-doubt around this. He is a guy that has done whatever he possibly can within, and within reasonable limits. Obviously, he's not a dictator. He's there because Israel's a democracy, and that's how he was placed in that position. So I'm not suggesting otherwise. But he has worked very, very hard to stay in power, as has his wife, and there doesn't seem to be that sort of leadership desire to say, okay, you know what, I have created a legacy. I've done, Israel's done unbelievably well economically under my leadership, even from a security point of view. It's been a reasonable success. Now it's time for me to move on and leave it to somebody else. We're not seeing that from him.
No, and we're unlikely to see that from him at all. So my suggestion is that it would come from one of a number of other sources. I think that President Ruvi Rivlin has a very important role to play here. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know whether he has the legal right to overlook Netanyahu and potentially ask somebody else within the Likud to form a government.
Well, I'm not sure if that's... Anthony, can we actually talk about that next step? Because I think that's the most crucial thing.
Yes, what happens now?
What happens now? The president has to ask someone to try form a government. And it clearly is that neither of the two strongest parties can do that. So what does he do? Who does he select or who does he ask first to form the government now?
I have no idea. Is the honest answer. I have no idea what the president plans to do.
Is it his choice? Is it completely within his discretion?
Yes, absolutely. Ah, okay. He has the discretion. So he has a process that he will go through. He will interview the leaders of all the parties who have representatives in the Knesset from the election. He will ask each party leader who they would wish to support for prime minister. And then what has usually happened after that is that the party with the most seats, the leader of that party is asked to form the next government. That's what the tradition has been up until now. Or alternatively, the leader of the party who has received most support from those private meetings with the president, he is the one who is asked to form the government. Now, on the basis of what we're seeing right now, it seems to me that Avigdor Lieberman will be the deciding factor. So when the president calls Lieberman in and says, who would you support to be prime minister? My guess is that Lieberman will say Benny Gantz, because that's what he said he's going to say in the lead up to the election. If that is the situation, then the president would be obliged to ask Gantz to form a government. That would be the next step, because Gantz would have more support from the Knesset members than any other leader of another party. So if that's what plays out, then Gantz will try and form a government, and he probably won't succeed. Because on the basis of things as they stand right now, he won't get the necessary support that he needs. And so that government will not be formed. And then the president will have to decide what he does next. But the point is that the president has said he's only going to give the 4 weeks of the initial period, and he will not extend that 4 weeks. He has the right to extend it for another 2 weeks beyond the 4 weeks. And he's already notified that that extension will not be available this time around. So I don't know what the president will then choose to do if Gantz comes back to him and says, I can't form a government. This is going to be, we're moving into unknown territory now, because for the second time around, we've got a situation where that we don't seem to have a government.
From what you're saying, it looks like the religious parties will play less of a role. Is that what it would appear like?
Well, if it's up to Gantz and if it's up to Lieberman, the religious parties will not be in the government at all. So it seems as if though, my prediction is that the religious parties, yes, they will not, if indeed a new government is formed, that the religious parties will not be in the government.
And Sian says, I think that Bibi's been a great prime minister, but unfortunately power corrupts and he has been there too long. So it seems he's putting his interests first and is hanging on to power at the country's peril. That sums up absolutely.
That is exactly what most of Israel feel. Yeah. That is well summarized in terms of the way that people feel.
Absolutely. Time is 8:00. Anthony Rao, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. No doubt we'll continue this dialogue tomorrow, assuming there is some kind of a shift or some kind of a progress. Let's see what today holds. It's 8:00. Here's your news with Zanati.